In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
On Wednesday nights, many of you have been joining me for the series we're offering, Walk in Love. And this past week, we explored the topic of prayer. And the principal different kinds of prayer is outlined in our Book of Common Prayer. Adoration, praise, thanksgiving, penitence, oblation, intercession, and petition. So I asked members of the class to think about which type of prayer comes most naturally to them and which is most challenging to them. And at the close of the class, one member came to me and shared that all of the types of prayer seem to come pretty naturally to her, except for one. And she said everybody in her group agreed that that one prayer that was so hard for them was penitence. To be penitent means to confess our sins, to make restitution where possible, with the intention to amend our lives. Indeed, it is hard to say, "I'm sorry," and then to live it. I always tell my children, you don't just say you're sorry, you show that you're sorry by how you act next. Penitence is at the heart of today's scriptures. All of them, actually, I think. And it helps to understand the profound layers of the prayer of penitence. So first we have Moses. Moses displays how any of us might feel if we saw God face to face, in the reality that each of us falls short of God's glory. Moses hides his face. He's afraid to look at God. He says, "Who am I to do anything for you?" But there God is, not only inviting him to do something great on God's behalf, but inviting Moses to gaze upon his presence in a burning bush. God compels Moses, "Take off your shoes, for the ground you are standing on is holy ground." We believe in the church that prayer is responding to God in thought or deed, with or without words. That means that a prayer of penitence is more about simply telling God we're sorry, but it's showing it by making amends to the people we've harmed, by changing the way we live. Our soul and body moves from turning away from God to gazing upon God without being consumed, allowing God to hold us just as we are. Psalm 63 speaks to our longing for that embodiment. The prayer of penitence is a process. You could take a look at the psalm that we read this morning. It shows a thirst for God. Our eyes longing to gaze at God. Our lips speaking praise. Our hands blessing. Our minds pondering God's ways. It says we cling to God. This is the way of turning toward God for which I believe we're longing. But even when our entire being longs for God, it's easier to look outside of ourselves to the sins of others. I remember sitting in church as a young person, and we'd say this prayer of confession every week, and they'd say, "Let's confess our sins against God and our neighbor." And I'd start thinking about all the terrible things that other people had done to me. Sometimes I still do it, if I'm being honest, rather than reflect on my own distance from God, my own sins. The people in the gospel today are doing this very same thing with Jesus. They're telling Jesus, "Did you hear about the Galileans and what Pilate's army did to them? The Galileans were on this pilgrimage. They were offering sacrifices in the temple, this very holy thing, and Pilate sent forces in out of his own fear and destroyed them all. But not only that, to top it all off, they mingled the Galileans' blood with the blood of the sacrifices. It's easy for us, even in church, to say, but God, look at how terrible these other people are. At least we're not like that. I think that may be what makes the prayer of penitence so hard for so many of us. It's challenging to face our own wretchedness and then to actually do something about it. It's also tempting to believe, well, if someone suffers, they must have done something to deserve it. Jesus today provokes us. Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, he turns it back to them. Unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Forget thinking about them. So what does it mean for us to turn toward ourselves and then back outward to God? Every week here, we confess our sins. We receive absolution, but we don't always repent. Matt Skinner commented on Scripture this week. The word translated as repent is at its root about thinking and perception. It refers to a wholesale change in how a person understands something. It implies an utter reconfiguration of your perspective on reality and meaning, including in the New Testament, a reorientation of yourself toward God. We know our need to repent. We can see it by the fruits that we don't bear. Are our lives showing love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Or not? Jesus tells in the parable of the gardener who approaches the tree that bears no fruit and demands that it be cut down. The man with the fig tree suggests, before I cut this fig tree down, let's aerate it. Let's put some manure around it. Let's see what grows. And then in a year, we'll decide if we're going to cut it down or not. God compelled Moses in the Old Testament lesson today to respond to God in light of his shortcomings. God showed Moses that the entirety of who he was made to glorify God. And later in the third and fourth chapters of Exodus, Moses continued to respond to God. He sees what's life's manure, and he claims it for himself. He says, God, this is my manure. Please choose someone else. I'm not worthy of doing this. I'm slow at speaking. You're asking me to do something I can't even do. So often, I think we want to be right with God, but we haven't been willing to change our thinking or even deal with or acknowledge that there's refuse, that there's manure. There are other words for manure. There are shortcomings. And today's scriptures are about reorienting ourselves to our perceived shortcomings and about seeing that the refuse, the manure, the you name it, serves a purpose. What could be seen as worthless and rotting manure can actually be used by God as fuel for us to be more fruitful. It's about changing our perception of it. One of my clergy colleagues, Jason Emerson, suggests that we should acknowledge the manure. He says that we need to traverse brokenheartedly through Lent so that we can wholeheartedly celebrate Easter. But we're averse to acknowledging manure in our country. And because of that, we have an obesity epidemic, an opioid epidemic, an aversion to grief that's so strong that sometimes when someone dies, families fall apart. The season of Lent and the gospel this morning stands in opposition to our denials of reality, our denials of the manure. Lent requires us to face the truth of ourselves and our need to repent. It's hard, but it's a cheaper price to pay than avoidance. And Jesus, through his mercy, wants to give your tree a second chance. So, Jesus also, in that second chance, invites you to claim the manure of your life. What can you claim as the manure of your life? Think about it. What do you bring to God when you're honest about the waste and the refuse of your life? This is about the God of mercy who invites us to bring it all, our whole selves, manure and all, transforming it into fruitfulness. This is what conversion is all about. Realizing that we are standing on holy ground, even if there is manure nourishing it. Especially if there's manure nourishing it. God made us holy. And the manure of our lives can work for the purposes of God if we're willing to reorient our understanding of the reality of that refuse. When we reorient the entirety of ourselves toward God, our souls and bodies are converted by God to bear incredible fruit. Irma Zaleski writes, "Repentance, the conversion of the heart, does not mean being filled and tormented by guilt. Instead, it means being ready to admit our responsibility for our actions and our need for forgiveness, and having a firm desire to change our life, to turn away from ourselves in prayer toward God in love. Repentance means, above all, a constant, patient growing in love. It means our willingness to open ourselves to the work of the Spirit in us and to fully embrace the gift of our salvation. May we be reoriented toward God in penitence, in prayer, in a life that brings it all, refuse and all, to God in all we do. Let us pray. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, you revealed your name to Moses in the burning bush and your mercy to every generation in the teachings of Jesus. Tend us patiently as the tree you have planted, and do not let us perish. Cultivate us with compassion and nurture us with forbearance, until by your grace we bear at last the abundant fruit of conversion. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.